Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint?
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting high and it's dying.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, but I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio, and welcome to the show. As I mentioned, and I've been mentioning all last month, big changes are coming. Just mentioned at the end of the podcast, and that is that the hour one of this show, known as the Russ Belville Show, is changing. I've been recruited to put together a Whitman sampler, if you will, of marijuana podcasts to be hosted on its own independent platform at mjagenda.com. But don't bother looking yet, because the site's not quite up yet. But when it's up, you'll see it. mjagenda.com. And the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is the name of the show. And it's going to contain basically the segments that I normally do, except more segments with more groups. So, you know how I do a regular segment with Leap? Well, we'll now have a regular segment with MPP, and a regular segment with SSDP, and a regular segment with the Veterans Cannabis Group, and a regular segment with, who else am I getting involved in? A whole bunch of them. Anyway, I can't remember them all off the top of my head. But yeah, that's the new direction that's coming, is that it'll be the Russ Belville. It'll be the Russ Belville Show transitioning to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. And someone in the chat room is saying, "How many platforms have you been through? Feels like about six." Well, let's count them. I was on XM Satellite Radio, the Russ Belville Show, 2006 through 2008. I was on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, which I turned into Normal Show Live from 2008 through 2012. And then I debuted the Russ Belville Show in 2012, originally on National Cannabis Radio, and then on 420 Radio, and then on Cannabis Radio. So that's six. I think you're right. I think you got it. That's six. You are our winner. Congratulations. Yay. So this is really, I'd just be doing basically the same podcast I do in the first hour, with news and data and analysis and rant, but it's going to have more of the pre-recorded segments from these other groups involved, and then we'll come into hour two like we normally do. We'll just, Toker Talk Radio is going to continue, by the way. We're going to keep doing this Toker Talk Radio just like this, so no change there. But the Marijuana Agenda is changing, and the new Twitter handle is MJ Agenda Show. If you want to subscribe to MJ Agenda Show, I couldn't get MJ Agenda on Twitter because of a guy, no kidding, a guy named Mustafa Jagenda. So M Jagenda is his name, right? Mustafa Jagenda, which is also MJ Agenda. So I couldn't get that one. It's MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. But on Facebook, it's MJ Agenda. And you can like that page right now if you want to. And part of the hope with this, too, is that I get the feeling that the Russ Belville Show, when people are searching for marijuana podcasts, I hope they find me. But I feel if it had the word marijuana in it, maybe that might help a little. So we're going to add the word marijuana. It's going to be the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, I did have some complaints, criticism about that when I talked to a couple people. They said, "How come? Why the marijuana agenda? Why not the cannabis agenda?" And the reason why is because, first of all, there's already a podcast called The Cannabis Agenda. It was on 420 Radio for a while. So that name has been used. Second of all, Cannabis Agenda is kind of a longer website and Twitter handle and Facebook name and all of that. Third, I don't get into the whole "we ought to call it cannabis" movement. I'm not all about that. And fourth, the laws that are banning us from doing what we want to do are marijuana laws. They use the word marijuana in the statute. I do appreciate the argument that says if we're trying to do something for the entire movement, that maybe we ought to call it cannabis. But to me, I think that it's time for the rest of the movement to start paying some respect back to those of us who smoke marijuana. The only reason why the hemp is at low THC values is because we smoke marijuana. The only reason why medical marijuana states have condition lists and plant limits and possession limits is because we smoke marijuana. It's all about keeping us from smoking marijuana. So the marijuana agenda is for us all to band together and fight for the legality of this plant. For everyone who uses it, for whatever reason they use it, it doesn't matter. Medical, industrial, spiritual, you're bored on a Saturday night, whatever. Nobody has the right to tell you you can't do that. That's the marijuana agenda. To be treated as equals with our beer drinking friends, to have places we can go and smoke marijuana like they can go and drink beer, to have festivals where we can use marijuana like they can drink beer. That's all we're asking. All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at Chris Christie, Jeff Sessions, and President Trump hearing from a woman about the gateway theory.
Oh boy.
Be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Okay, Mr. Thomas. Now, take these twice a day, always with food, and finish the prescription. Also, when your son Jake steals some of these from the medicine cabinet, he's going to take them to a party where he'll share them with a girl he likes named Leanne, who's going to drink some alcohol and then have convulsions and a cardiovascular collapse. Any questions?
For the tools you need to talk to your kids about prescription abuse, go to CanadaDrugFree.org.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I would imagine that there's probably a gun in the school to protect from potential grizzlies.
All right. Well, maybe you're high, too. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Is this right?
Just try not to drool quite so much on the end of it.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 9 after the hour, and earlier in the first hour, we were speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. And we played for him a clip that features President Trump, Governor Chris Christie, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions on a listening session about drug abuse and the opioid epidemic. As I reported, Chris Christie is impaneled to chair this commission, this task force, that also includes Governor Charlie Baker from Massachusetts, former Attorney General of Florida Pam Bondi and North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory, I believe is the guy's name. And all these people have numerous comments in their career of how much they oppose marijuana, oppose legalization. So you know what kind of opiate task force we're going to get is one that's going to do everything they can to link the increased support for marijuana legalization to this idea that we've become lax on being disapproving of drugs, and they're going to tie it to the opiate epidemic. So I was very concerned when I got this video and we heard from this mother who was describing how her young son died of an overdose and delivered to the panel the exact sort of talking points that people like Chris Christie and Jeff Sessions are trying to feed to President Trump. So this is an example of that confirmation. Check it out.
Because this is a disease, you don't understand the dynamics of it. You can't, you're not, nothing prepares you for this journey. Unfortunately, my son OD'd after having been clean for 10 and a half months, OD'd on a drug that was laced with fentanyl. So he died.
Which is getting worse and worse. So here, Jeff, getting just out of control.
So Carlos started smoking marijuana when he was 15 and a half years old. And for him, and he'd be the first to tell you this, it's absolutely for him a gateway drug. It led to heroin, cocaine, crystal meth. At 18, when he was a senior in high school, with months to graduate, he had a crystal meth overdose. And by the time I got to the hospital, because his friend drove him there, I didn't even know that he was doing this to this extent. By the time I got to the hospital, the ER doctor came out and said, you need to call your family now. We don't think there's anything you can do for your son. We managed to transfer him to another hospital. He got the care that he needed. He was in a coma for 3 days and suffered some minor memory loss from that. And of course, at this time, as an 18-year-old said, oh, I'm never going to touch anything again. I'm going to stay clean. Had him in a program. But less than a couple months later, he's back on the streets, not only taking drugs, but got caught smoking pot, ended up in jail. I had told him early on, I will put every penny, every dime I have into your recovery and getting you clean and helping you stay clean and supporting you 100%. But if you end up in trouble with the law, there's nothing I'm doing for you. Because
can't beat a mother's love like that. If you get in trouble with the law, there's nothing I'm doing for you. So let's keep the law as it is and see that your son can run into all sorts of trouble with the law because he's got a problem with his addiction. It's always tough dealing with these kind of comments because you don't want to seem crass. You don't want to come off as uncaring. But I think it was illustrative to watch the reaction of President Trump when she mentioned that marijuana, no doubt about it, you ask my son, he would say marijuana was a gateway for him. And you know that's what Jeff Sessions has been feeding to Trump. You know that's what Chris Christie has been feeding to Trump. And I will not be surprised that they are going to use this opiate epidemic as an excuse to ratchet down federal enforcement on marijuana. They're going to say since... And the frustrating thing is that these all have logical follow-ups on our side, right? Like... they say, well, you know, the opiate epidemic and, you know, the gateway drug and people are doing marijuana. And we say, look at all these states where the people are getting off of opiates because of their use of marijuana. What about all these states where there's fewer opiate drugs being prescribed? And I hope this takes, and I hope this is getting through to the majority in the mainstream. I hope they're getting it, that marijuana is the exit drug from opiate addiction. Marijuana access is going to help us deal with the opiate epidemic. But what I'm afraid is going to happen is that line of reasoning is once again going to fall victim to the artificial bifurcation of marijuana as being different based on your reason for using it. The more we keep pushing this, well, marijuana reduces opiate epidemic, et cetera, the more they can say, yeah, but... it was recreational marijuana that was the gateway that led to the heroin that means we have to give them the medical marijuana to get off of it. And they're going to make sure that that medical marijuana to get off the opiate addiction is the non-smokable pills, sprays, inhalers kind of solutions that they're trying to, you know, pharmaceuticalize, that they want to pharmaceuticalize this. They'll be able to fight both sides of this. They'll be able to fight the recreational side by saying we need to be strict about drugs and send the strong message that using drugs is bad, that leads to things like heroin. And be able to embrace the, oh, well, if we pharmaceuticalize it and GW Pharmaceuticals comes up with Epidiolex or some other formulation that helps people kick opiates, that's fine. Because, yes, that is the medical side. I was reminded of this when I was flipping through Facebook over the weekend. And there was a meme from cracked.com, you know, the humor website. And this meme had come through and it mentioned how marijuana has become less medicinal. That was the line that got me, as it said that marijuana has become less medicinal over the years because the THC content's gone way up and the CBD content is almost non-existent. This is that false narrative also, this false frame that, oh yeah, the CBD that helps the epileptic kids, yeah, that's the medical part of marijuana because it doesn't get people high. That's the medical part. That's the good part we're trying to get out of the marijuana to make pills, sprays, and inhalers out of so that we don't have that awful THC that people smoke to get high. Folks, there's a lot of medical benefit to THC. They are trying to railroad cannabidiol. They're trying to shoehorn cannabidiol as being the only medical aspect of marijuana. And that meme saying, well, they've bred the cannabidiol out, that means it's nearly not medicinal anymore. Bullshit, it's not medicinal anymore. THC is needed for many, many conditions as well. So that's one side where I'm worried about the, okay, well, they're going to start linking opiates to marijuana, gateway theory to attack medical or to attack recreational, but still be able to embrace the medical side of it as getting you off the opiates. Their logic will be a two-pronged approach. Kill recreational to prevent people from getting on heroin in the first place. Pharmaceuticalize medical to get the people off the heroin that we couldn't save. We couldn't stop in the first place. That will be their basic game plan. And on another note about this, when we're thinking about how the government reacts to this opiate epidemic, is that note where he said, Tony Dukupel was following up with DEA chief Chuck Rosenberg saying that legalizing marijuana has pushed the cartels into growing heroin. And Rosenberg says, well, maybe. Well, there's no doubt about it. We've seen the growers in Mexico complaining that their return on a kilogram of pot has gone from $100 to $25, and that they are switching over to producing heroin because they can get more return on that. So there is no doubt about that. And that's where I can see this administration pointing at the increase in meth traffic, the increase in heroin traffic, and the countervailing decrease in marijuana production, saying, see, we legalized, and what did it do? It made the cartels come at us with harder drugs. Now, the funny thing about that theme or that idea is that it implicitly says we've got to keep marijuana illegal so criminals can make profit off it rather than harder, more dangerous drugs. In a way, they're proposing marijuana prohibition as a harm reduction measure for criminal marketplaces. That's really what the logic amounts to. If we legalize weed, the cartels can't make any profit on it anymore. And so they start making harder drugs, meth and opium. And so, gosh, we ought to keep weed illegal so they can keep making a lot of profit off weed, because at least that doesn't kill anybody. That's really where that logic train finishes. But they won't mention it that way. They'll just say, since we've legalized, look at how the production of meth and heroin have gone up, and depend on the American people not to think that through, not to think through what that means, and also not to consider the other corollary of that is we can push them toward manufacturing more meth and more heroin. What we can't do is manufacture more desire for those drugs. Right? Just legalizing marijuana doesn't increase the desire for meth or heroin. In fact, I'd argue it decreases it. And that's what those studies about opiate addiction in the medical marijuana states are telling us. But again, they won't consider that the people will think through that far on that.
I object to all this sex on the television. I mean, I keep falling off.
Especially with the new TVs, they're so thin. Well, folks, that sound means that it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. When we return, we'll talk more about the opiate epidemic and how we can fight for legalization throughout all of this rhetoric.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
But I'm getting some very negative reports coming out of Colorado as to what's happening.
Okay, well, maybe you're high, too. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. And blue blashing gurgan, puffin' beer blashing, schnurb norbin. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and I hope you're having a great day today. It is beautiful here in legal potland, Oregon. The sun is out, the sky is blue. We don't know what to do. Also, a quick update on Delta 9 House and Studios. As you may know, Delta 9 House is now a fully functioning Airbnb. No kidding. You can actually stay here at Delta 9 House. We got two guest rooms that we are renting out, I guess, on Airbnb.com. Just look for Delta 9 House and or go to Facebook.com/Delta 9 House with the number 9. And it's been remarkable, folks. We posted this last Saturday, like on the 25th of March. And since then, we've been booked solid, except for 3 days in March. For this first week of April, booked solid, folks, with both rooms. And it's just getting better and better as more people come out here and enjoy Portland. When they want to come out, they're looking for hotels, they're looking for places to stay, even on Airbnb. And if you really want to enjoy legal Portland, Oregon, you need to smoke some weed or do some dabs. And you can't do that in the hotels. They'll charge you a $250 cleaning fee. And a lot of Airbnbs won't do that either. But we will. So I've been meeting all sorts of really cool people. I got some guys from Pennsylvania staying today. Met some kids from Stanford over the weekend. Met a person from Germany staying here at the house. Really interesting stuff. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in coming out here, you can book as far forward as September, right? But if you're really thinking of being out here, you want to get this room booked as soon as possible because they're going fast. All right. Also, quick mention to our legalization line. You can call us 24 hours a day at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's also going to be transferred over to the Marijuana Agenda Show starting on May 3rd. May 1st, I'm sorry. That's the other part I forgot to mention is that the new show starts May 1st. the Marijuana Agenda starts on May 1st. This is the last month of the Russ Belville Show, so to speak. But that new phone line, 650-LEGAL-MJ, 650-534 2565 is the number. And we've got a message line there. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our Google Voice message line will pick it up. And maybe if we want to play the call, we will, just like this call from our friend Creed Loeffler. Let's get Creed on the line, who dialed up earlier. Here we go.
Hello, listeners of Radical Russ. I was calling to give you an update on my petition. We currently have 2,565 signatures, and I need your help. We need many, many, many more. If you would like to sign it, you can either find it on Radical Russ's Twitter, or you can find it on my Twitter or Facebook by typing in my name, Creed Loeffler. That is spelled C as in cat, R as in Robert, E as in Edward, E as in Edward, D as in David, L as in lemon, E as in Edward, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, L as in lemon, E as in echo, and R as in Robert. I would like to give a shout-out to Chip Baker of the Real Dirt Cannabis Radio podcast. Please assist me in the fight to end cannabis prohibition forever. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Thanks for Creed Loeffler for dialing up to us. Also, got this call from the 469 area code.
Hey, Ross. What's going on, man? It's Texas Toker. Been a while. How's it going? Hey, I had a question, and I apologize if I missed it in Toker Talk Radio, but I was curious about GW Pharmaceuticals Epidiolex and the fact that they got orphan drug status for CBD and what that might mean for any competition. Just curious if you've covered it, and if you haven't, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so thank you, Texas Toker. The Epidiolex from GW Pharmaceuticals is currently undergoing its stage 3 trials and also has gotten the orphan drug status, which is what happens is that there are people that have diseases that are so rare that there are no pharmaceutical companies that can make a profit by making drugs for that disease. Like if six people suffer from this one disease, you're not going to spend the $100 million it takes to put your drug through clinical trials and through the FDA approval process to be able to market a drug to six people. So these drugs are often called orphan drugs. They're drugs for which there is a demand and a need, but the need and demand is so small that capitalism won't respond to it. And therefore, these people end up dying without having this drug or having to spend exorbitant amounts of money to try to, you know, deal with this themselves. So the orphan drug status of Epidiolex is one that allows people to be able to appeal to the investigative new drug and some of those other federal procedures that allow people who are in desperate straits to try out drugs before they've been actually FDA approved. Practically, though, this does not mean that a whole bunch of people are going to now be able to get Epidiolex. The trials are still going on, so it's just really kind of a technicality that's just allowing GW Pharmaceuticals to have more people involved in the trial and to be able to speed things along. And I think that's the goal. I really, really believe that the fight right now for our opponents is a delay tactic. And the delay tactic they're trying to pull off here is to keep marijuana legalization limited to the West Coast and Colorado as much as they can, to undercut home grow rights as much as they can, and to establish that what medical marijuana is an actual medicine made from cannabis rather than people using whole plant marijuana. They're going to try their best to make it so that anybody who wants raw flower is a pothead, and anybody who wants medicine doesn't want raw flower. That's what they're going to try to push. How successful they'll be is a matter of how well we've educated the public at this point. See, some of our talking points have undercut us when we fought for like cannabidiol oil and said, oh, it's CBD oil. It's non-psychoactive. It doesn't get anybody high. Well, we've just kind of tacitly accepted their frame that, oh, CBD is medicine and THC is the thing that gets you high. We've given up the point that, no, THC is quite medical as well. The fight is going to be to fast track as many of these cannabinoid medicines as possible, the Epidiolex, the Sativex, and so forth, with the goal of picking off the sympathetic stories from the pro-medical marijuana movement. If we can get Epidiolex taken care of, we've picked off multiple sclerosis and a lot of the seizure disorders from the necessary qualifying condition lists. Now the opponents can lobby these legislatures and say, hey, look, you don't need to have seizure disorders in your medical marijuana condition list anymore because now there's Epidiolex and it's Schedule 3 and it can be prescribed and the health insurance will pay for it. Now people are like, what? This is never going to happen. Well, it's already happening with glaucoma. The last few states that have come out with medical cannabis laws have not included glaucoma in their condition list because now there are eye drops and these other sorts of preparations and drugs that have been approved that have clinical trial data behind them showing they're more effective than smoking marijuana. So the game plan here, I believe, from our opponents is to perfect as many pharmaceutical preparations of cannabis as possible and use them to one by one pick away at the qualifying condition list to the point where the only people left on the qualifying condition list are the potheads. Well, you must be a pothead because, well, we figured out Epidiolex for seizure disorders and we figured out this thing for nausea and we figured out this other thing for chronic pain and you just want to get high, don't you? That's the only, it's really the only strategy I see left for them is to use our own bifurcation of ourselves, our own separation in these separate little medical, recreational, industrial hemp tribes and use that against us. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how, say, Americans for Safe Access and the medical marijuana supporters react as whole plant gets taken away. And they have to say, well, no, we need the whole plant for the entourage effect. And it's the best for the medicinal. It's the best for the medicinal. And they'll never be able to escape the fact that, yeah, it may be true, but whole plant is also what the potheads smoke to get high. They're never going to be able to escape that. When they're fighting for whole plant medical marijuana, they'll never be able to escape its association with the potheads who want to get high. So stop denying the potheads who want to get high. Get on the bus. This isn't 1996 anymore where medical marijuana has to make pains to separate itself from the stoners and the potheads. Oh my God, we've got to separate ourselves. We got 60% support for legalization now. Why does the 90% support for medical marijuana people have to fear losing 30% support if they embrace full legalization? You're still in the majority. And if you join this majority of 60%, you can get whole plant. If you stick with your 90% medical majority, you end up compromising and getting CBD laws. You end up compromising and getting no smokable marijuana laws, getting these cannabinoid laws. Join our majority. Join the 60%, 57 to 60%, who want just full adult legalization. Like whatever you want to use, however you want to use it, and whatever reason you want to use it, use it. It gets so frustrating sometimes. But I do worry. I do worry about the development of these pharmaceutical cannabinoids and it leading to dismantling slowly, piece by piece, the existing state medical systems. We've seen an example in Nevada. In Nevada, where they had medical marijuana, people could grow their own. But as soon as they started putting dispensaries up, people clamored for dispensaries. They said, oh, well, if you got dispensaries, then you don't need to grow your own. And that's when they instituted a 25-mile medical halo like what Arizona has. And then when legalization came around in Nevada, since the precedent had already been set that you couldn't grow within 25 miles of a place that was selling pot, they adopted that for the legalization initiative, too. And now nobody in Nevada is going to be able to grow pot unless they live way the hell out in the Nevada desert away from anybody. It'll be interesting. I think the long-term result of this is that the other groups will have to start supporting legalization. The prohibitionists will back them into the corner of being forced to do so. A boy can dream, can't he?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Get your tickets now for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, happening one day only in Eugene, Oregon on Friday, April 28th. You'll learn all about the latest OLCC regulations for adult use cannabis, including testing requirements, tech and branding, taxes and distribution, and the latest developments in medical marijuana regulations. OMBC features networking with Oregon's leading experts in marijuana, including State Senator Floyd Prezansky. You'll also get to hear from author, actor, and punk rock icon Henry Rollins delivering the keynote address. Early bird pricing is available for conference only and VIP passes, which gets you access to the VIP networking events featuring Henry Rollins and other speakers. It's the 2017 Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Tickets available now at OregonMBC.com. That's OregonMBC.com before April 14th to get your early bird pricing. OregonMBC.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
THC levels in marijuana snacks are so high, they could kill children and pets.
Okay, maybe you're high, too. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Yeah.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Almost 38 after the hour, and great news coming from the first four states to legalize marijuana. A letter was sent today by the governors of Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, all four of the states that were the first to legalize marijuana. All four governors signed on to a letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Secretary Steve Mnuchin of the U.S. Department of Treasury. And it reads the following. Attorney General Sessions and Secretary Mnuchin, as governors of states that have legalized marijuana in some form, we ask the Trump administration to engage with us before embarking on any changes to regulatory and enforcement systems. The balance struck by the 2013 Department of Justice Cole Memorandum, or Cole Memo, has been indispensable, providing the necessary framework for state regulatory programs centered on public safety and health protections. We understand you and others in the administration have some concerns regarding marijuana. We sympathize, as many of us expressed apprehensions before our states adopted current laws. As governors, we have committed to implementing the will of our citizens and have worked cooperatively with our legislatures to establish robust regulatory structures that prioritize public health and safety, reduce inequitable incarceration, and expand our economies. The Cole Memo and the related Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN, guidelines provide the foundation for state regulatory systems and are vital to maintaining control over marijuana in our states. Overhauling the Cole Memo is sure to produce unintended and harmful consequences. Changes that hurt the regulated market would divert existing marijuana product into the black market and increased dangerous activity in both our states and our neighboring states. Likewise, without the FinCEN guidance, financial institutions will be less willing to provide services to marijuana-related businesses. This would force industry participants to be even more cash-reliant, posing safety risks both to the public and to state regulators conducting enforcement activity. The Cole memo and FinCEN guidance strike a reasonable balance between allowing the states to enact reasonable regulations and the federal government's interest in controlling some of the collateral consequences of legalization. 28 states, representing more than 60% of Americans, have authorized some form of marijuana-related conduct. As we face the reality of these legalizations, we stand eager to work with our federal partners to address implementation and enforcement concerns cooperatively. The Cole Memorandum and associated FinCEN guidance are critical to the success of any collaboration. We look forward to working with you and your administration. We stand ready to have further discussion on how these important federal policies work in our states. Sincerely, Bill Walker, Governor of Alaska, Kate Brown, Governor of Oregon, John Hickenlooper, Governor of Colorado, and Jay Inslee, Governor of the State of Washington. So that's big news, folks. That's four governors calling on the federal government to slow its roll when it comes to any sort of changes to the Cole memo and to the FinCEN guidelines. This is contrasted by another story that's also in the cannabis. The DEA asks Colorado for info on marijuana crimes for the new administration. This is an email reported by the International Business Times that got it through an open records request. The email says, quote, "Some of our intel people are trying to track down info regarding some of DEA's better marijuana investigations for the new administration. Hopefully, it will lead to some positive changes." This is an email sent by a supervisor on the financial investigations team in DEA's Denver field office to Michael Melito, Senior Assistant Attorney General. And they want to find case numbers on the prosecutions involved in multiple people charged with growing pot illegally in Colorado and shipping it out of state. Sounds like somebody trying to put together a list, if you will, of examples where the Cole memo has been violated. That's what it sounds like to me. Now, a spokesperson at the DEA, spokesperson at the State Attorney General's office says, quote, "Our office has a longstanding relationship with the DEA, as it is our role to prosecute illegal drug cases. The change in administration at the federal level has not changed that relationship. This email was clearly discussing current criminal cases, not policy." Well, yeah, it's discussing current criminal cases in order to set policy. That's the whole point. They're trying to build a case to present to the American people as to why they need to be taking on enforcement of marijuana laws at the federal level when they're so damn popular. They are building the case so that they can go forth and say, look, we're not all for busting a whole bunch of people. They just want to change the laws and smoke some reefer in their house. But my goodness, these people change the laws. And the next thing you know, we're just overrun with heroin epidemic. And we've got people that are distributing marijuana all across the country. You can't keep it in Colorado. It's going all across the country. I mean, I can hear Jeff Sessions in my nightmares at this point saying this kind of stuff. I know a lot of people are saying nothing's happened yet. It's all just smoke. They haven't really talked. There's nothing happening yet. But know that this is an administration that likes to distract from the evil stuff it's doing behind the scenes. And what bigger, better distraction could they put forth than attacking marijuana laws? That would get all sorts of attention on the news and from the late night hosts and so forth. So I don't know. We still have another 3 years, 9 months, and maybe things will stay just like they've been for now. Maybe we're unstoppable, but we'll see. Another 3 years, 9 months, we'll see what happens. What they're referring to in the email, according to the cannabis, was a reference to a 2015 joint state federal case referred to as Operation Golden Gopher. It involved 32 people indicted for allegedly shipping a multi-billion dollar scheme to grow marijuana illegally in Colorado and ship it out of state, mostly to Minnesota. They weren't licensed under state law. They were located in warehouse area is popular with state growers. Law enforcement officials later cited the case as an example of illegal growers trying to take advantage of Colorado's marijuana laws and hide in plain sight. The idea here being that we would come back and say, well, look, you can't blame this on Colorado's legal marijuana because they weren't legal marijuana growers. They're illegal growers. There's always been illegal growers. There always will be illegal growers. That's not the fault of legalization. And their response is going to be, yeah, but these guys were able to go get a warehouse and have nobody pay no attention to them or no mind to them or worry about them or call the cops or tip anybody. Because people getting warehouses for marijuana grows is a common thing now under legalization. That's the way they're going to paint it. They're going to paint it as, yeah, sure, they may not have been licensed operators that were violating the law, but they were unlicensed operators taking advantage of the climate that the new law creates. This is the way these people think. And this is when you hear this coming from the Attorney General in a month or two or three, when you hear these concepts coming out of his face, remember where you heard it first. Because I'm the guy who's been warning you about this. And I still have people. I got people in the comment sections of my pieces calling me hysterical and overblown. And it's just, oh, it's terrible. Sky is falling. And maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. But in my career, I've never gone broke by overestimating the power of reefer mad prohibitionists to fuck up my life and our lives. It's always been a pretty safe bet to bet that if they can find a way to do something, they will. And so I think something's coming. We shall see what it is. I just hope everyone's ready for it. Also, let's take a look around at some other marijuana news. The news of Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, calling for the NFL to lift its ban on marijuana by the players is huge. I mean, all 32 of the NFL owners have some, you know, they're all rich as hell, but Jerry Jones kind of stands head and shoulders above these guys. He's kind of almost the most visible and vocal leader of the NFL owners. And so if he's calling for an end to the cannabis ban in the NFL, then you know it's starting to gain some traction. Now, the collective bargaining agreement gets renegotiated in 2020. I believe the only question now is whether or not they do some emergency switch or fix to stop banning cannabis between now and 2020. Because I think once 2020 happens, once we get to the year 2020, the cannabis ban is gone. The NFL is going to get rid of it for sure. There's just way too many players that are speaking out now. And the knowledge is just too distributed. Too many players know that this can be beneficial for them. Too many players know that this is helpful against concussion. Too many players know that this can be helpful against the addiction that they deal with. And as you look at this too, I mean, the opioids that are regularly prescribed to these players have been shown to not really be that effective on chronic recurring pain, right? Opioids are kind of like, you know, an emergency, you know, spare tire, right? That little donut tire you get in the back of your car. I mean, it'll help, right? You get a flat tire and you can put that donut tire on and you can get to your home or to a tire shop, but you ain't supposed to drive on that little donut tire forever, right? That little donut tire weren't made for you to be driving on forever. That's what like taking opiates is, right? When you have a major pain problem, you know, you've been had an operation, an accident, whatever it is, you got a major pain problem, opiate's great. It's your little donut tire to get you through. But you can't stay on that little donut tire. You get addicted. You get tolerant. You have to take more of it. You start to crash your liver. You start to crash your kidneys. You can't stay on that stuff. And yet these NFL players, like one of these players was getting Tramadol 5 times a week for 9 years. The FDA says you shouldn't take Tramadol any longer than 2 weeks because it could cause kidney damage. But that's the kind of stuff they'll pump into these players without even thinking twice about it. Because again, these players are multi-million dollar contracts we're talking about and a multi-billion dollar industry around it. And the whole name of the game is keep that player on the field. So it might hurt his kidneys in 12 years. They don't care. So there will be, by 2020, they will change the NFL's collective bargaining agreement to allow for marijuana use by the players. And it's not like they're going to say it's okay to use marijuana. They're just going to stop testing for it. They're going to stop punishing. But I believe, you watch, they'll leave a punishment in if players get in trouble with the law over it, right? They won't test for it anymore. But if you get busted by the cops in Florida and you're in possession, yeah, they still have some sort of punishment for that because now you're breaking the law. But at least the players that play in, well, what all the NFL teams but nine play in a state that either has medical or recreational marijuana in it. Sadly, my beloved 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers do not play in such a state. Even more sad, the New England Patriots do. Ugh. All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get to our closing segment here. Give you a little more preview of what's happening with the marijuana agenda and Delta 9 House. I'm Radical Russ. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
But I think it is the prerogative of the states to make that determination. I think the people of Colorado have the right to make the decision that they've made under the Constitution.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about stone driving. Numerous studies have shown that once you factor in age and gender, drivers with cannabis in their system have no statistically greater risk of motor vehicle crashes than sober drivers. But that doesn't mean you ought to be toking and driving. Those studies are referring to people with any amount of THC or metabolite in their system, not people who've just smoked marijuana. Simulators and observed demonstrations show that cannabis consumers do develop a tolerance to the impairing effects of marijuana and can perform driving tasks within an acceptable margin of safety. However, infrequent and novice consumers do not and cannot and would be wise to never toke and drive. Even regular cannabis consumers should exercise caution before deciding to drive, as most state laws punish drivers harshly if they're discovered to have marijuana in their system. This has been a public service announcement from the Russ Belville Show.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. 53 and a half after the hour. And a quick update, because it is April, and that means 420 is rapidly approaching. It's on a Thursday this year. My schedule for April is pretty packed. We'll have shows today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. No show on Thursday or Friday. Thursday, I'm flying to Phoenix, and Friday, I'm filming in Phoenix a new television show called Cannabis In Sight. It's not Cannabis Insight. It's Cannabis In Sight. Three words. It's for New Frontier Data, and I'll be anchoring the show. So look forward to doing that filming this weekend. The following week, we will be heading that weekend to Boise for the Boise Hemp Fest, an officially licensed Seattle Hemp Fest festival. The Boise Hemp Fest takes place on Saturday, April 15th at Julia Davis Park. So there will be no show on Friday that week. So two Fridays in a row I'll be off. But wait, it gets worse. The following week is 420 week. And on 420 week, I will be flying to Atlanta, but we will do live shows from Atlanta. I'm flying there on Wednesday, April 19th. And then on 420, Kevin Sabet has this event, called a Take Back 420 event, where it's basically the Project Sam National Conference, I guess you could call it. So we are going to head there and see if we can get into the conference and protest it and do a show and all that fun stuff. So we'll have plenty of audio for you from that event, I am certain. And then the weekend after that, the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference is taking place. We'll be live from the OMBC. That means we'll have to take a Thursday night off to be able to drive down there to get there in time for the reception. So I guess the long story short of April is if it's a Thursday or a Friday in April, I'll either be live somewhere or I'll be off the air on Thursdays and Fridays. And then, of course, that OMBC event, that live broadcast from OMBC on April 28th will be technically the last edition of the Russ Belville Show. Over 900 episodes of the Russ Belville Show this Friday the 28th, last episode, because on Monday, May 1st, it's the debut of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville at MJAgenda.com, MJ Agenda Show at Twitter, and MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube and SoundCloud. And we're still working feverishly on getting the website up. If you surfed out there and you didn't find anything, that's by design because it's not up yet. But we will get that over the next few days as well. So looking forward to that. Of course, the Global Cannabis March, first weekend of May. Make sure you look up your city. There's over 300 cities nationwide that participate in the Global Cannabis March. And it's how I got my start so long ago. May of 2005, I went to a Global Cannabis March, and that's what started this all. So if you're interested in this movement, you need to get out from in front of the computer. You need to take off the headphones. You need to actually go meet people. You have to get involved with others who are like-minded and want to end this adult marijuana prohibition. All right, one last story before we go, and this one's a crazy story and just harrowing. A 13-year-old girl was abducted by a 50-year-old man in Napa, California. He abducted her at a Shell gas station. She was a runaway and had an argument with her mom. He abducted her at a gas station at 3 in the morning on a Friday and ran away from home. He talked to her at the gas station, then convinced her to get in the truck, drove her to an unknown spot in the country. They smoked some pot. And then he tries to make advances toward her. She rejects the advances. He assaults her, ties her to a tree, and rapes her. At one point, he injects her with methamphetamine, used a razor blade and a knife to make superficial cuts to her leg, and scratched his name into her skin. Now, this is right, like, what an... You're raping a child... And you want to make sure your name is carved into her so people will know who did it? What the? All right. So he'd taken her twice, you know, taken her in the truck to other places. Twice he'd raped her again in the truck. They were in Bodega Bay early Saturday and driving along when she jumped from the moving truck and hid in the bushes. And so he stops the truck and starts yelling out for her and says, when she didn't answer, he says, I'm going to kill you. And now here's the clincher. As she was still hiding in the bushes, the rapist called 911. The rapist called 911 saying that his 13-year-old companion had jumped out of the car and ran off. Now, when the deputies show up at 5:40 in the morning Saturday and are talking with the rapist at the scene, the girl, covered in abrasions and bruises, stumbles out of the bushes and says, "He raped me." This is just the weirdest case. Anyway, I don't know what to say about it other than what an idiot, and I hope they lock him away for as long as they lock away a pot grower. All right, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
All right. Maybe you're high, too.